WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Successful launch of Boeing's Starliner spacecraft, first one with a crew on board. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
So far, so good. They're in space. The vehicle has performed flawlessly, as best we can tell. And so this mission's off to a good start.
California is one of several southwestern states dealing with a triple-digit heat wave. This man lives in Livermore, California, where it's going to be close to 100 today.
The heat allows you to appreciate the cool. Don't underestimate that.
The first planned congestion pricing plan in the United States is on hold. It was set to take effect at the end of the month for drivers going into Manhattan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
We have to get it right. We have to make sure that it's not a dual burden on everyday New Yorkers. We have to make sure that it's not going to impact our recovery.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Three people are due in a Madison courtroom September 19th to face felony charges connected to the 2020 fake presidential electors scheme in Wisconsin. State Attorney General Josh Call suggests more people could still be charged.
I'm not going to comment on specific individuals, but what I can say is that this is an ongoing investigation, and our decisions are going to be based on those facts and what the best interests of justice show.
Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman are charged with felony forgery. Call denies the timing has anything to do with this year's election. The National Weather Service now confirms an EF1 tornado touched down east of Mount Horeb May 21st. There's no word as to why the confirmation took so long. The latest twister is the 24th to hit Wisconsin so far this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Chippewa Falls YMCA is looking for volunteers to join its summer veteran fishing series. According to a WEAU report, the organization has been planning the event since last summer and has received a great deal of interest from the community. The program will include volunteers taking veterans from the Wisconsin Veterans Home in Chippewa Falls out to Erickson Park for a series of fishing events over the summer. At the end of the event, the YMCA will host a fish fry to cook up all of the fish caught by the veterans over the summer. The Eau Claire Plan Commission unanimously approved an application to rezone the Regency Inn and Suites from a residential property to a commercial property. The application came from the expected new owners, who entered a purchasing agreement in recent weeks and intend to close the sale next month. They are planning a full renovation for the location, hoping to eradicate any negative associations the location has developed. The rezoning must still be approved by the City Council, which will meet on June 10th. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers fall in extra innings. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. It was the Phillies in the 10th inning yesterday to take the win.
Line drive game, to baby. Right field. He is the hero. A one hop off the wall. Here comes Merrifield, and the Phillies will win it. In the bottom of the 10th inning, Nick Castellanos, an RBI double. 2-1 Phillies.
And that score, your final in 10 innings. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers couldn't come up with the big hit when they needed it.
We didn't execute when we had to, and we didn't get the big hit. And, I thought our pitching staff did a nice job for the most part and kind of didn't get things to go our way. So, yeah, results in the loss, and the extra inning loss, tough.
It'll be the Brewers and the Phillies one more time this afternoon as Milwaukee tries to avoid the sweep. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Breezy winds out of the west today will whip up to 30 miles per hour, pulling our high temperatures to the upper 70s. As we sit pretty under sunny skies, a few more showers and a stray thunderstorm do pop up again this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with me. don't play with fire. Yeah.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, Rebecca Cook wraps up our interviews, catching up this week with the three Democrats trying to win the 3rd Congressional District primary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with producer and engineer Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. Mr. Zommers, what is it?
Hump day!
Indeed, a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Now 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Going to skip the small talk. Welcome in our crossover guest host every Wednesday, Mr. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio from 6 to 8 right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat, want to get to some breaking news. You and I just saw across the wires here. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I know, Pat, you're looking at the AP reporting. This is the breaking news across Wisconsin at this hour. The former warden, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, at Waupun Correctional Institution, a maximum security prison facing lawsuits over prisoner deaths and a federal investigation into smuggling allegations by staff, has been booked into the Dodge County Jail, according to online records. The former warden, Randall Hepp, retired last week. The news of his arrest was first reported by the Associated Press. The online jail-related records do not specify what potential charges he may face, and online court records show no charges have been filed against him as of this morning. His jailing comes... Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say, let's jump into, since they're crediting the AP, and yep. I'll quote Todd Richman here from the Associated Press story, which does not note he announced his retirement last week for the end of June. But from the AP story, he is the warden of the prison still, has not retired yet, only announced it. Wow. So the warden of the prison has been jailed. State Senator Van Wongard told the Associated Press that the warden and numerous other people will be charged with crimes related to their work at the prison. Wongard said he didn't know how many people would be charged, but that at least some of them would be felonies. In a letter to the sheriff obtained by the AP, more than 20 people remain under internal investigation, at least 8 are on administrative leave, 9 others were fired or have retired since the Department of Corrections began a probe about a year ago.
Wow. Again, breaking news at this hour, just moments as we were coming onto the air, as Pat reported, the Associated Press is reporting, the warden at the Waupun Correctional Facility in Waupun, Wisconsin, Randall Hepp, has been arrested and jailed at this time. We're expecting, Pat, what I'm seeing here is a planned news conference for 1 p.m. this afternoon, so just under an hour, where findings from the investigation into 4 deaths that occurred inside Waupun will be discussed.
Yes, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell noted that he will be covering the Dodge County Sheriff's press conference at 1 o'clock. Ostensibly, the press conference was going to be about the fourth death at the state prison in Waupun, since the past year. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it's about so much more than that, that I'm sure Terry Bell will be telling us all about, before too terribly long after it ends.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll stay on top of this. We will see Mr. Zalmers. Let's coordinate with News Director Terry Bell. We'll see if we can bring you at least some of that news conference live shortly after 1 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. But again, for those of you just joining us, first reported by the Associated Press, Waupun Correctional Institution Warden Randall Hepp has been arrested and jailed at this hour. And we will have more details coming up after the press conference by the Dodge County Sheriff's Office at 1 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, Patrick, what a way to kick off the show. Never dull around here, that's for sure.
It's never dull around Wisconsin. I mean, we would have had plenty of other things to talk about regardless, from Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupas finally being charged in Wisconsin to, I hear there are election campaigns going on. People always ask, how are you? And I'm like, I work at the intersection of news and politics. I am never, never bored.
No, it's never boring. It's absolutely never boring. It's one of the things I love about the job is that it's different every day, sometimes different by the hour. It keeps you on your toes, that's for sure. As long as you brought it up, let's go there. Attorney General Josh Call of Wisconsin bringing charges, at least in a couple of the attorneys that were involved with this fake elector scam back in 2020. Not necessarily the fake electors themselves, Pat Kreitlow, but at least getting to file charges against some of these people where it certainly would appear to a person like me, they knew what they were doing.
They did know what they were doing, and so did other people who claim to feign ignorance about the whole matter, looking at you, Senator Ron Johnson. As I was putting together the pieces, and we've had various pieces of this puzzle, over the past couple of years here. But the charges against Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupas, both with Wisconsin ties, both working with or for the Trump campaign, it becomes very clear that it is possible to kind of diagram, shall we say, the chain of command of the paperwork, the fake ballot from the fake electors as it made its way from Madison, using a UW law student to get the documents to Chesbro. Troupas, meanwhile, was talking to Ron Johnson about this whole matter. And as we know, the fake ballots ended up going to a Pennsylvania congressman's office because of the other person charged in this case yesterday. Mm-hmm. Then to Ron Johnson's office, and he's like, I don't know how these things got here. When Jim Troupas has told him, the month before about the fake electors plot. So again, for people missing the significance of this, Ron Johnson was literally minutes away from delivering fake ballots from Wisconsin and Michigan fake electors to Mike Pence in the hope that Pence, despite saying otherwise, would change his mind and go along with Donald Trump's fake electors plot. And had Mike Pence read those fake ballots off, Ron Johnson would have been a mule for delivering fake ballots. And who knows how the events of January 6th might have exploded in any other direction were it not for Pence's aide telling Ron Johnson's aide, do not deliver those papers.
Yeah, I don't think people fully appreciate how close this came. And the more you read into it, I know, Pat, you've discussed this on Up North News Radio 6 to 8 every morning, that part of this was to delay in the House of Representatives, delayed this certification, kind of caused chaos within the House in hopes that the majority, Trump majority, U.S. Supreme Court would take this up and actually overturn it.
Or take it, send it to the state legislatures, and enough of the legislatures were Republican majority. And recall that Ron Johnson had met with Wisconsin legislators and told them to basically ignore the Wisconsin Elections Commission when it comes to federal elections. And so there was definitely a scenario where Mike Pence reads the ballots and either claims that they're the genuine ones or says, I don't know where this is going. Let's kick it back to the state legislatures. There were all these different ways that things could have gone entirely sideways. And I just don't want people to forget all of the ways that this was being plotted. Even though it didn't succeed, if there aren't consequences, like the charges filed yesterday against Chesbro and Troupas, then it only would encourage Trump or somebody else to try an attempted coup in the future.
And as you look at these other lawsuits, Pennsylvania, Georgia, whatnot, these same actors, many of them, kind of hatched this whole thing in Wisconsin. I mean, it's just bizarre. Yes.
Yeah, it was Chesbro and Troupas who were really at the forefront of creating this plot and laying out the legal justifications. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to make fake ballots. It's right. Another thing entirely to say, okay, here's where we're going to justify it. And there's documentation that Troupas and Chesbro talked about, sharing these talking points with conservative talk shows in Wisconsin and perhaps in other key states to build public support. But more importantly, not to build public support for this, but to continue to undermine, sow seeds of doubt about, the credibility of the election that had just been held, when in fact there were no irregularities. Yeah. It was a free and fair election.
That's number one, super important to remind people the 2020 election, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country, has been certified, found, tried literally, and found that it was free and fair, accurate. Trump lost. Biden won. That is an indisputable fact, number one. But number two, Pat, as you look at what happened here and people say, well, you're just making that up. Well, remember, there is videotape of this happening in the Wisconsin state capitol. They filmed it.
Nobody
was being duped.
They cheered. They took photos as they signed the paperwork that was drafted by Chesbro and Troupas. It's all out there, along with the email messages where Chesbro told Troupas that he had discussed the whole matter with Ron Johnson on the evening of December 7th. Yeah. So there's nothing accidental or just a contingency, as they said originally back when they all gathered. This was an actual plot. This was an actual conspiracy.
Right.
And
right.
It's finally being prosecuted here in Wisconsin as well.
What's your schedule like, Pat Kreitler? Can you stay at the bottom of the hour today?
For you?
Oh my gosh. What a guy.
Did Trigvy fire me? Did he cancel me?
He was here yesterday. He came a day early. I think that's the same thing Stormy Daniels said in her testimony. But anyway,
I wasn't gonna go there.
But anyway,
moving on.
Tony Zimmerman watching on YouTube says Pat has talked about the fact that more people doubt the election in 2020 now than at that time. It's only getting worse, Pat.
Because if you repeat a lie often enough, more and more people will believe it, especially those who are only listening to outlets in the right-wing ecosystem. Remember, we've got Marco Rubio and Scott Walker and Lindsey Graham and all these others who once upon a time were on conservative media saying, we got to stay away from Trump. He's a bad dude.
Right.
But now they're all defending him. They're all attacking the very American judicial system that we have here in place for criminals because they didn't like that Trump was convicted of criming. So when you see top Republicans like this knuckling under and caving, small wonder that some of those viewers that might have been skeptical of Trump in the beginning are now full-blown Trumpers, and that is a true danger to democracy as well as American security.
Well, and we played yesterday on the show a cut from Nikki Haley from back just a few months ago when she was still a candidate for president, saying specifically that her thought was a majority of people will not vote. People will not vote for a convicted felon. And attacking Trump, and now, of course, that he is a convicted felon 34 times over, now she is politically genuflecting and saying she'll vote for him.
It's something that the history books will finally answer some questions we still have here as to how could this be.
Big news, Dave. By the way, it's our one-year anniversary of being statewide. How about that? Celebrating it with Pat Kreitler. Come on back, talk about what's happening in the Wall Street Journal. An attack on Joe Biden. What Morning Joe had to say about it, and Kreitler as well. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Coming across Lake Wissota at a speedy 5 knots in his pontoon boat, it is Captain Pat Kreitlow, heard every morning 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio.
Ahoy, Poloy.
Have you got the pontoon out yet?
The pontoon is finally the we had engine troubles in the beginning, but it is all good to go. We ran our maiden voyage on Sunday. And look forward to many more throughout the course of the summer here, including it's the summer of the Todd Father. So whenever he gets up here, I believe next time you're up here, you're going to be on your way to Amory or something like that.
Yeah, Jane Matt Nair, who comes on every morning 10 till noon, and we're going to do a little tour, start in Richland Center on Wednesday.
Wait.
What?
Wait.
What?
Jane, too?
Yes, Jane. I told you this.
I got to clean the house now. We got a company.
Well, I don't know.
I didn't know we were going to have a VIP coming with us.
Well, right. Todd, forget about Jane Matt Nair.
I mean, come on. It's Jane. Of course. It's a legend.
This is a true story. One of my friends who I went to the UW Center Richland with, he's from Viroqua in southwest Wisconsin or Soldiers Grove, and he has been a longtime teacher in the Burlington High School, and so he's listened to Jane Matt Nair for years, and he goes, oh, my God. You're going on a tour with Jane Matt Nair. You realize that she's one of my broadcasting idols. I said, she's great. So, I mean, people get to come out and see her in Richland Center. Next Wednesday, we're going to be at the park in the band shelter. And then on Thursday, we're going to be at Eau Claire at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar. We're going to buy your first cup of coffee at Shift in Eau Claire on Thursday. And then Friday, we're going to be at the Danielson Band Shelter the Danielson Stage at Michael Park in Amory. It's the beautiful new band shelter at Amory. And so come on out there. Now, I heard there's a rumor you may join us in Amory.
First I had to clear my schedule. I had to look at one potential conflict.
Yes.
And the one potential conflict, I'll mention it here, it's the Radio and Television News Directors Association, the RTNDA. Mm-hmm. And, I hadn't been to one of those conferences in maybe 20 years, and it's in Milwaukee this year.
Oh.
And I thought, well, I'll take a look at it. And I looked through, and there were one or two things I might have liked, but so many of the other things were kind of redundant or things mm-hmm. I could have learned online that I said, wait, it's that? Or Todd and Jane in Amory? Well, I mean, there was no further issues involved. Yes, I'll be there.
Oh, fantastic. Are you going to be in Eau Claire, too, or just Amory?
Of course I'm going to be in Eau Claire. Okay.
I didn't know.
I need to get out of the... You forget, I'm doing all of this from a very small room in my house that once a week, Sherry pushes me outside and says, go outside and play. So she reminds me frequently of the time in 2020 when obviously it was the pandemic, when mm-hmm. none of us were traveling as much. But at one point, I went out to the garage, and it had been so long since I'd been out and done anything. Literally, there was a small amount of cobwebs forming on the grill of my Jeep. Cobwebs!
On the Jeep?
On my car. Yes.
Did you hear about these new terrible spiders that have been brought in from like China on the East Coast? They can fly, quote unquote fly, because they puff themselves up and then they blow
check,
in the
please.
Wind.
I'm done.
But I don't think they're coming to the Midwest, or at least not to Wisconsin. But this is
right after the murder hornets the killer bees and the cicada, everything else that's supposed to come up here. But we've got it down to 20 below for a reason around here. Own security. Yes, our own health.
Well, there you go. If you're in the Chippewa Valley area, come out and see Kreitlow, Matt Nair, and their driver, Todd. We're going to be at Shift. Have you been to Shift Coffee? Shift
Yes.
Yeah, a great place. Yes. beautiful place in downtown Eau Claire. They serve Ruby Coffee Roasters, Wonder State, some great local Wisconsin coffee roasters. So, yeah, we'll be at Shift next Thursday between 10 and 2. So stop on down and see all of us. And we'll do Amory on Friday. So it's going to be...
And by that time, when you're in Thursday, next Thursday, talking about the Chippewa Valley Hospital situation with a couple of the hospitals that have been closing. I was doing the math today for an article. Today is day 97 since that Republicans have been sitting on $15 million that was designed to help with the healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley. It's been the bigger story is that today is day 336. That Republican legislators have been sitting on $125 million designed to clean up PFAS-contaminated water in Wisconsin. So 336 days of Republican legislators saying, contaminated water, so what?
Not that Pat Kreitlow's counting.
Not that I am, but I am now.
I want to get to this quickly. We'll get Luke Mathers, by the way, is joining us after the bottom of the hour break. Get both Pat and Luke's take on this. Morning Joe on MSNBC hosts Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Of course, we had Elise Jordan from MSNBC here yesterday.
I saw that. Look at you. She was fantastic. Big deal.
Only because I know people like Trivi Olsen. Anyway, Joe and Mika tore into the Wall Street Journal report that President Biden's mental acuity appeared to be, quote-unquote, slipping, questioning how editors could have missed multiple Republicans saying otherwise. Here's about a minute of it. We'll get Kreitlow's take.
With House Republicans to lift the debt ceiling, his demeanor and command of the details seemed to shift from one day to the next, according to then-House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
By the way, they also quoted Mike Johnson, people around Mike Johnson, and admit that this was basically House Republicans whacking.
Why didn't they just ask Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Well, exactly. Why did? They could have.
And Lauren Boebert.
Yeah, it's really shocking, especially when you see what Kevin McCarthy has said repeatedly, publicly, and behind the scenes about Biden on those same days when they were negotiating.
The strong feelings you're seeing about this article comes also because the context of this race and these two candidates. It's interesting. That's all I'll say. Anyhow, that flies in the face of what McCarthy said about Biden's effectiveness in the past. From Politico last year, quote, McCarthy mocked Biden's age and mental acuity in public.
In public, like he did in this article.
While privately telling allies that he found the president sharp and substantive in their conversations, a contradiction that left a deep impression on the White House.
It's all projection. Those last couple of speeches by Trump have been nothing short of disastrous. It's absolute word salad. And so, again, what do? When you're trying to undermine an election, you accuse the other side of cheating. When you notice your candidate is slipping in his mental grasp, you accuse the other guy of slipping in his mental grasp. It's always projection.
Yeah. And again, report after report of Republicans and world leaders who have met recently with President Biden say he's sharp as a tack. And to your point, Pat, we've heard from Trevi Olsen, who ran John McCain's campaign, other Republican presidential campaigns. When your candidate has an Achilles heel, the first thing you do is accuse your opponent of the same thing to gaslight people.
Yes, it's gaslighting, pure and simple. And again, I think I'd like to think most folks don't fall for this. It simply reinforces people who are already in the MAGA base. People saying, oh, Joe Biden falls down on a bicycle.
Right.
Joe Biden rides a bicycle.
Right.
Let's see Donald Trump get on one of them babies. You know,
not
he should
happening.
Be so lucky.
Right, exactly.
No, it's not going to happen.
Well, every morning, 6 until 8, you can hear Mr. Kreitlow this and much more. I encourage you to tune in. And Pat, we look forward to seeing you next week up in beautiful Chippewa Valley in Eau Claire at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Roasters on Wednesday. And then, pardon me, on Thursday. And then Amory in the park at the beautiful new band shelter. I cannot wait to see this. I've seen pictures. It will be right next to the lake. It'll be spectacular. And the weather's going to be great.
I will be ringing up Brittany Merlot post-haste here to order up some great weather for you when you get here.
It's going to be like 75 and sunny, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you did this. Okay, well, never mind, Brittany. Todd's got this figured out.
75 and sunny sounds like my last date. Anyway, thank you very much, Pat. We appreciate it. Thanks for stopping in. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.
See you later.
Stay tuned. Mr. Luke Mathers is next. Your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere.
Your You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
As the Farm Bill starts to solidify in Washington, D.C., food and farm organizations alike are making sure their voices are heard. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. Feeding Wisconsin is a network of food banks that provides emergency food to more than 1,000 pantries and programs in all 72 of Wisconsin's counties. Executive Director Jackie Anderson is heading to Washington, D.C. this week to tell lawmakers what food insecurity looks like in Wisconsin.
Over 600,000 Wisconsinites, including more than 200,000 children who are food insecure. If you look at the context of that, these rates coupled with the fact that the cost per meal has actually increased by more than a dollar in recent years. So this results then in Wisconsin families having a shortage of $450 million that they're going to have to make up on their own, and an annual meal gap of more than 116 million meals. So you can see that if we don't help support our food structure that we have right now, these families are going to be struggling even more than they already are.
Those are the numbers that Feeding Wisconsin Executive Director Jackie Anderson is sharing with congressional leaders in D.C. this week.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to our equipment located in Dodgeville. Check out the affordable, efficient, versatile tractor line at our equipment and ask for Mr. Versatile, Chump Gill. Keep up with Pam and the entire team at MidwestFarmReport.com, on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Sand dunes, alpaca, and cranberry bogs. It's all on our next adventure. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod out east, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a visit to a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyard, meeting alpacas and going on a sand dunes adventure, plus a visit to a cranberry bog. Find holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for a free travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure.
From Chicago, midday on a Wednesday, the Class 3 milk contracts are giving back yesterday's gains. The July contract is down 45 cents at $20.42 a hundredweight. The August Class 3 milk contract is down 42 cents at $20.67 a hundredweight. Cash corn is trading down 3 cents at 439.5. December new crop corn is down a penny and a half at 460.5. Soybeans are mixed. Cash beans are up a nickel and a quarter at 11.84 and a quarter. November new crop beans are down a quarter of a cent at 11.55 and three quarters. And July new crop wheat is trading down 12 and a quarter cents at 6.46 a bushel. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Breezy winds out of the west today will whip up to 30 miles per hour, pulling our high temperatures to the upper 70s. As we sit pretty under sunny skies, a few more showers and a stray thunderstorm do pop up again this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
A record number of Wisconsin Democrats are running in legislative races. Devil's Advocates will tell you when and who and where. Tune in Wednesday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for taking us along all the ways from Lake Superior down to the shores of Lake Michigan near Milwaukee, Waukesha area, over to the Driftless region, WRCE and Richland Center, up to the talk of Green Bay in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Maybe you're in the beautiful Bull Falls area of Wausau. Wherever you are across the state of Wisconsin, we appreciate you being part of the Civic Media Radio Network. And here to talk all things civic, a curator of news, a renaissance man, and very, very adaptable, Mr. Luke Mathers, for coming in on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday. Thank you, Luke.
We got a nail every day out of the week so far, and we haven't gotten there yet, Todd. Right. So the Wednesday tangents.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We are busy.
We had a big show yesterday.
Well, we didn't know when our guests were going to arrive, so thanks for being flexible and letting those folks come in yesterday. But we're always happy to have you along.
Well, in all fairness, I texted you on Monday night when I saw all the promos, and I was like, "Did I get bumped? Did I not know?" And you're like, "No, you're not getting bumped. Just bear with us." And then it just ended up being better that way. I didn't know
you were going to not be here. You had other obligations. I didn't know that, so I didn't know you weren't in studio.
Last second coverage. Yeah. So, but it was an excellent show. Hats off to you,
thanks,
sir. Yesterday,
just
tremendous guests, great conversation, and it's been excellent listening.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate all your help and support in making all this happen. Want to get your take on a couple of things before the break here. Busy news day, as it turns out. First of all, I don't think
we ever get a slow news day, Todd. Literally, anytime you have the feeling that there may be a slow news day here in Wisconsin, you're either on vacation and not tuned in, or you're about to get whiplash with some breaking news.
Very, very true indeed. Want to get your take. We have, a couple of callers on the phone line. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's just finish up and get your take. Pat Kreitlow did last segment. This story in the Wall Street Journal this morning, and Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski really went after the editors, especially. Joe Scarborough said everybody likes to pick on the reporters. Look, there's this big editorial team behind the reporter.
That's typically who chooses the headlines, too. The reporters aren't the ones making the headlines. Talk.
Exactly. And so this article in the Wall Street Journal basically took this quote from Kevin McCarthy, said that Joe Biden was slipping, and Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski said, look, here from a few months ago in Politico, the same dude, Kevin McCarthy, was again publicly in public attacking the president, Biden, but then privately saying, yeah, I met with the guy, he's sharp as a tack.
Yeah, I don't... Trust your sources, first off. Kevin McCarthy could not keep he couldn't count the votes in his own party to whether or not he had a speakership. They had to go into the teens first time in, more than 100 years that it took that many votes
Matt Gaetz didn't take so long to go into the teens, but anyway.
Allegedly, that's the preference
allegedly,
there.
Allegedly, yeah.
But I think it's also very important that the priorities, I guess you want to call, like, for lack of better terminology, the priorities for these large media outlets, like the Wall Street Journal, like other legacy newspapers, cable network television, their incentives, Todd, are to try to get more attention and views and clicks.
Clicks.
And during the Trump term from 16 to 20, news organizations were pretty well off because so many people were tuning in, and the craziness, the instability, the chaos that came with that Trump administration, it was a moneymaker for a lot of these outlets. And so I think that there are some financial incentives for outlets like the Wall Street Journal, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. That was where
Wall Street Journal.
And so it is very, very important to be paying attention to when these editorial boards, these editor teams, these outlets are putting a story in that light. They're framing. That's what that is. Like, as you said, is saying one thing in public, saying another thing in private. That's the framing of a story.
It's a narrative.
It's a narrative. Mm-hmm. And Brian Kelly and I will talk about narrative till the cows come home. That is something that Brian and I always talked about on Dueling Tangents. And so that framing is because if Trump gets reelected in this, if he goes back to the White House, I think there's a lot of news outlets that say, I guess not reelected because he's not the incumbent in this one, but
elected again.
There's a lot of news outlets, I think, Todd, that are going to be fairly happy about that.
As far as clickbait, I mean,
yes, about the traffic, about the viewership, about the subscribers, they themselves don't fear the consequences of what a second Trump term would be.
Look at the Trump trial at New York here. During the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was, CNN was up 19%. I think MSNBC 17% and Fox up 15%
and when you
over
run
a year ago.
News organizations on ratings and everything like that, that you go chase those things, the incentive to cover the circus is going to say, hey, well, what's the big deal if he goes back to the White House?
Off the text line, Andrew from Maine saying, quote, listening to WAUK the Shaw, oh, and don't forget McCarthy has been out of Congress since December and has not had direct interaction with President Biden in more than 6 months. Well, sure, yeah, right. There's that too. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Mark in Peronisac. Mark, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Going back to the previous hour, I mean, it should be no surprise that Scott Walker is comfortable with the criminality of Donald Trump. Again, let's remember the criminality of Scott Walker back in 2010 when his county staff was running his campaign out of his county office in direct violation of law. And Scott Walker never did pardon those people that were brought down by that, who actually were convicted. I can remember Cynthia Archer whining about the Don raid at her place. That because she was heavily involved in violation of, I think it's the Hatch Act, you know, conducting you know, campaign business during office hours. I mean that, and it's no surprise that Ron Johnson is squealing so loudly now because I think he feels the dogs nipping at his heels, and they're going to soon bring him to bay. I hope as well and drag him down and I hope his political career ends over this because it's just, I mean, Ron Johnson was so heavily involved in that. That he was involved in the planning of that, and he can no longer say, well, I was just involved with it a few minutes. He knew what was going down well before it happened, and his duty was to denounce it because he took an oath to the Constitution. Yeah. And 14.2, as I've said, people are tired of me saying it, but 14.2 of the U.S. Constitution guarantees that it's we, the electorate, that choose the electors, not self-appointed jackasses like Krupas and... And
Mark,
the whole
thank
crew
you.
Of fake electors here in Wisconsin.
Mark, leave it to Mark, one of our longtime listeners here at Civic Media, to, in true dueling tangent spirit, lead us right into a tangent. We appreciate it, Mark. Mark was talking about.
They should not be encouraged, though. Like, don't encourage me around here.
In the first segment there, the first time, we mentioned this news from yesterday. And as long as Mark went down the tangent, Luke, let's get into it. This news, Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin, has finally indicted a couple of folks. You got Jim Troupas there. And
Cheeseboro.
And Chesbro.
Whatever it is. We're from Wisconsin. I'd like to believe that it's Cheeseboro, but.
Not the actual fake electors themselves, but the attorneys. And we talked about this at Kreitlow. What's your take? I mean, clearly, there's literally a video of this happening. No one seems to be duped. They seem to all know that they were literally voting and signing fake ballots.
Yeah, I have a feeling that. Attorney General Josh Call's office, the Wisconsin Department of Justice, and everybody involved with looking into the facts of this case took their time, obviously, and it's been to some criticism, some by me, for how long it took. But I would assume that they have now got in their investigation a fairly airtight case against those three individuals, and I don't know if that means cooperation from some... Or just one of those 10 fraudulent electors, but I want to believe that there is going to be some form of accountability. I mean, Robert Spindel was one of those fake and fraudulent electors. He still serves on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. he still sent emails bragging about depressing black voter turnout in Milwaukee County in recent elections. You still have, I believe, one of the leadership positions in the state party is held still by one of those fraudulent electors. People that served and signed those forged documents, as the Wisconsin Department of Justice claims in its charges yesterday that were announced, some of those 10 fake electors served on U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's reelection campaign.
Yeah.
And so, like, there are still a lot of those folks going out and being involved in Republican Party politics here in the state of Wisconsin. And that is very frustrating. But I'm hoping that there can be some charges and some punishment for the lawyers responsible for the scheme, if not everybody involved, to hopefully prevent anything from like that from happening again.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join Luke and myself here on a Wednesday edition of Tangents, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can download it for free. It takes less than a minute on your Apple or Android device.
You better have it downloaded because you're getting another keyword next hour.
Maybe I'll save that for what's grinding my gear. I'll save that. What's grinding my gear, actually.
All right, we'll get to it.
Because I talk about rigged events here. We'll get into that on the other side. First of all, let's go back to the phone lines. Good old Sharky down in Racine, listening on WRJN. We appreciate it. Sharky, you wanted to say what about Mr. Ron Johnson?
Well, thank you for putting me in here, buddy. It still sticks into my craw when Ron Johnson's, was attending a function in Waukesha, and at a particular function, there was an assault of his staffer that basically resulted, as suspected, suspect was that got molested. Basically, was the one was assaulted, and they covered it, and it was the actual suspect who made the attack was. By a guy's name of Bill Kramer, and they covered it from Wisconsin officials as well as federal.
Okay,
so it's kind of hard to follow.
I'm not aware of it. We can look into it. I'm not particularly familiar myself personally with that story, but I appreciate it, Sharky. Thanks for calling in, listening to WRJN down there in beautiful Racine.
No, WRJN is now Timeless Hits local news. So Sharky's listening on the app.
Explain this to me, because this timing is absolutely fantastic. Because here we have the executive producer of Civic Media, and Schmuck, I just come in and do my little 2-hour show, and then I sit around. Still simulcasting, or are they split between Racine and Kenosha? Explain this to me.
Racine and Kenosha are simulcasting big band hits and full service news, sports, and weather for the Racine area. So no longer taking the entire Civic Media talk lineup, returning back to local news focus and timeless hits for the southeastern Wisconsin community.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But Sharky could be listening on the Civic Media app, which you can take anywhere with you. So you could be listening Racine to WAUK, WMDX, or WLAK. Maybe you're fantasizing about being up north on the water, and you're listening to Lake Air on
Plus,
the Civic Media app.
The WAUK AM signal does also cover Racine.
Yes, 540 AM.
Who wouldn't be fantasizing about being on Pat Kreitlow's pontoon boat on Lake Wissota on a beautiful day like today?
Still haven't got my invite, have you?
Jane's coming. This is great. I mean, she's got cachet. Let me tell you,
she does.
I'm happy to just be her driver for a couple of days. We're going to go all around Wisconsin next week.
It's going to be fantastic. An excellent time.
It will be a good time had by all. We're going to come back and find out what's grinding Luke Mather's gear. Speaking of Ms. Matt Nair, who I love and respect, and she's a fantastic person, but she's gotten a little salty in this contest we're having, the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. And
I feel like this is being rigged, but I'll wait till we get back and we'll see what's grinding.
So you'll hear a story on why it's grinding Todd's gears, yeah. And then you're going to have to stay tuned throughout the 1 o'clock hour to receive that next chance to win with the code word coming up in the 1 p.m. hour.
Make sure your texting fingers are limber and ready to go. Just and you've go. Downloaded the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tell you the hour next, or the hour, tell you the word next hour. By the way, new polls out today. President Joe Biden has overtaken Trump in three battleground states. We'll see if we can talk about that as well. Stay with us on Civic Media's Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Luke Mathers in for a Wednesday edition of Wednesday Tangents with Lukester. Always glad to have him along. Very quickly before we do a grinding your gear, Luke, new polls. And again, Charles Franklin from Marquette always reminds us polls don't vote, people's do. It's a snapshot in time. But there's so much.
You should be a voter. Make a plan. Check your voter registration. Already know when the next election is coming up. We've got one in August. We've got one in November. Be a voter.
Very good. But there's so much press given to the negative polls for President Biden. I just think it's good to also talk about the good polls out there. So very quickly, according to a swing state polling by Florida Atlantic University, FAU, and Main Street Research, take that for what you will. New numbers out today, Wisconsin, when they include third-party candidates, 38% of respondents said they would vote for Joe Biden, 31% according to Trump. In the same poll, same circumstance, Michigan, 41% Biden, 39% said they vote for Trump. And in Pennsylvania, Biden up 41-39. Luke?
Yeah. I mean, that poll, to me, those numbers are all very, very low. Like, this is going to be all be 48-46. Like, that's where if there is truly going to be a presence of a third party candidate, and it still looks like RFK Jr. is having a hard time getting on the ballot everywhere. I don't know the status of the other two states. I believe he's going to be on the status
here. RFK Jr.
He's going to be on the ballot in Wisconsin.
RFK Jr. is having a hard time getting out of bed, let alone getting on the ballot.
Well, you know, when there's things squirming around in your brain.
Head, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's tough. Yeah, but exactly. It's not going to be numbers like that. Polls like that, to me, Todd, are nice. It's a good thing to talk about. It's too low, though. There's too large of a sample size of the third party for me to actually take into consideration it being a reflective poll of what the voting totals are going to be here in the state of Wisconsin come November, or the other battleground states named in it, Michigan and Pennsylvania. I'm bullish on Michigan. I think it's important to point out Biden won that state by like 120,000 votes in 2020. And so, yes, Michigan was one of the slim margins in 2016 that helped send Donald Trump to the White House for the first time. But I have a hard time really seeing that large of a swing in Michigan.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to be here in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. I think it's going to be those three states. And so those are the ones that I'm keeping an eye on. I could be completely wrong, but I'm very, very bullish on Michigan. And it's going to be interesting to see. But with polls like that in battlegrounds that have so many undecided or third-party choices being said that that's where those polled are going to vote, I just have a hard time seeing it.
Look, Mathers, what is grinding your gears?
What is grinding my gears? So I got two. So we're going to try to I'm going to give you one first, and then I'm going to feed off the one that I know that you're going to get.
All right.
So for folks that have small cars, compact cars, reasonably sized cars, cars that are meant for community, you are the drivers that should be in the compact car parking spaces that are provided in places like parking ramps.
Yeah.
Downtown. Mm-hmm. But there are folks that are like massive cars, but they think that by being over the line that is clearly marked there for the back of the car that they qualify. And as somebody with one of those compact cars that's eco-friendly, it's got a good gas mileage, and I pull in and I see like this behemoth car that's parked partially over the lines and not even in this compact space. Really grinding my gears this week, Todd.
When it comes to parking, size matters.
Yeah, and I get this is not something very relatable to you because you do not park in a compact size.
I don't. I drive a Dodge 1500 Dodge Ram truck, but I don't go around parking in signs that say compact cars only.
Thank you. Well, there was this behemoth like SUV, kind of. I think it was a BMW or a Buick or something like that. And I was just like, "You are not compact car." Like it was a crossover SUV, and like it was a mess.
Because people are too lazy to walk an extra 10 block or 10 steps to a different parking spot. All right, what's grinding my gears is this great contest. The contest is not. It's great. The Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. By the way, it's a statewide contest. I'm not sure if you heard about that or not. Luke's threatened to fire me if I don't keep saying that. We have attorneys right out here in the hallway just standing there.
Sure, we're holding Todd's feet to the fire.
Well, J. Matt Nair, of course, who I'm traveling the state with next week, threw down this gauntlet, and she wants to challenge me because our show, without even trying, we just asked people to text in, and we blew everybody out, figuratively speaking, in terms of the number of people texted in. And that was fantastic. We were very flattered by that. Well, Jane gets sassy and says, well, we're going to take Todd on. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, by one texter. And now, I don't want to give it out yet, but the word that we've been given for next hour, I feel is extremely difficult. I don't feel that I think that Jane's word was lake.
Okay.
I mean, our word, I can't say it yet.
No, again, the attorneys are staring. I think
that's a difficult word.
You think it's a difficult word? Okay. I didn't make the matrix. I can take it up with whoever did, I guess. But this was also made much before. I don't believe shows were taken into consideration at all, bud. So I don't think Todd Alba's show versus Matt Nair on air was even...
I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Clearly so. So yeah, that is, it seems to be indicated there. Yeah. But see, my second thing that grinds my gears is you said you were all sworn off from wagers and contests. And then you go and you accept this gauntlet
this was not my... okay. I don't participate, but if somebody challenges me, I'm not a wallflower.
See, the last I heard is you were done. You were sworn off from wagers because I challenge you to a friendly wager every now and then, Todd. And
just when I think I'm getting out, they drag me back in.
Well, I think it's going to lead to some very, very interesting road trip talk between you and Jane next week. You're going to be in the final days of the competition.
Jane's coming up. Yes, exactly right. We're gonna duke it out, and Pat Kreitlow is going to referee, and we're going to have a mud wrestling contest between Jane and I on the banks of the St. Croix River in Amory.
You better be a good sport, and you better not leave her in Amory when she cleans clock.
Wow. Luke just predicts a Jane Matnair win.
Hey, all I'm saying is I might have sent one text in yesterday, and I can't tell you. I can't confirm or deny which show
you're
I texted
in. Not allowed to do that.
During.
People are beating up.
I can't compete or I can't participate. Right.
Well, we wish Jane's lovely. We're going to be traveling around the state. We're going to be here in Madison, starting about Madison on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're in Richland Center. On Thursday, we're in Eau Claire. And Friday, we're ending up the week in Amory.
Yeah.
Luke Mathers, thank you so very much. Stay tuned next. We have Terry Bell, our news director from Civic Media, in covering this Dodge County Sheriff's Report. The correctional facility officer in Waupun has been arrested. More news on this, a press conference coming up. Luke, thank you so very much.
Always a pleasure,
Todd. Stay tuned now for a special report with Terry Bell right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Maggie Dawn.
Day 3 of Biden's Top 100. We're going to be joined by Bob Lord. Patriotic millionaires will break down how we should be taxing the richest corporations in America.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.